Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Fat, what happened to your voice?
Put moron number two on the phone.
G'day, Jim.
What the hell is wrong with you two? Everybody's working
overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
You're feeling good. It's September. We're building up to the granny. We've got big, big shows coming your way. And speaking of grand finals, he's sure on the show today.
Yep.
Going to talk to him about footy and the grand finals, of course, he played in, but also SAS Australia, which is dominating on the Seven Network. So can't wait for him. And then for Thirsty Camel, we take a look at another Brownlow moment where Bill made an ass of himself.
Oh, no.
So I'm looking forward to that. There'll be a really pox joke at the end.
Yes.
And that's why this is one of the most downloaded shows on Australian radio. Hello to you, Fat.
I did see that, Jimmy boy. Downloaded show number 14 in Australia or something, which is unbelievable. Well done to me and Rabsy, of course. I'm well, thank you, Jim. Yes, and how are you, Rabs?
And you're going well. Like, you're playing really good footy there for a few years, but just the last couple of years, wasn't it?
Had the Achilles. Had the groins. Yep. No, I didn't have an Achilles, but groins.
Never had an Achilles.
Yep. Did you have an Achilles?
Oh, I have got two of them, but I never did one. I did both groins and...
Abraham told me that, right? Yeah, groins.
Yeah. Who was that?
Just threw Abe under the bus. It's David Armitage.
Oh, Armour.
It's Armour.
Fart on command.
Fart on command, yep. That's him.
Oh, Jimmy, we got plenty of sports news. Let's get into it.
Well, come on in.
On this magnificent Tuesday, September 14. Did I do anything 10 or 15, 20 years ago? No.
Are you just doing a time call?
Yeah, well, of
course. You do belong on AM, don't you, really, with the way you broadcast?
7 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock, Jim. Here we go. The Gary Ayres medal. We love this because if you play well in finals, you're a very good player. Who do you reckon got the 10 votes Geelong, Melbourne, Jim?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll take a wild guess. Is he a ruckman?
Yeah. Reece Stanley. No, Maxi Gawn, 10 votes there. 6 to Petrarca, 6 to Salem, who set him up very early. He was
Salem.
Good. Salem. Salem. Jack Viney was also good. He got 3 there. And then Port Adelaide Bulldogs. Bailey Smith.
What a
final season he has had. And Jack McRae, he just keeps on keeping on. And they got 9 each. Mitch Hannon there on 5s. Jack McRae on 25, Jim. And then Bailey Smith on 17.
So if you win 3 finals or play in 3 finals to get into the grand final, you are guaranteed to have the winner of this award within your team.
Yes. So,
whereas Melbourne are going to play 2 less games nearly.
That's exactly right. Well, the Dogs will play 4 games, won't they? So,
No, 1 less game. So, it makes it hard for anyone else to win it. But a very good player, Jack McRae, so taking nothing away from him.
Good news at the Saints. They have signed Jack Billings for another 4 years, Jim. There was talk that he might move on, but that is good. And Paddy Ryder has also signed a 1-year deal. Now, he did have an Achilles injury. That's who I was getting mixed up with, I think.
Right. Wouldn't be him.
Hey, what about what's happening at Collingwood now with McRae there, of course, and then Justin Lepich and Brendan Bolton there. Former coaches, Jim. That's a nice little threesome.
Well, and to help McRae, you're right. He probably needs some experience around him. Lepper, of course, a former senior coach, will be very good in that role. And Brendan Bolton, I think, as an assistant, is fantastic, or head of coaching. So good appointments.
I like that. They've done well, Collingwood. Well done to them. What's going on at North Melbourne? They are here to stay, and they've got a multi-million dollar plan for completion.
Yeah, the Arden Street redevelopment, it is fat. Of course, they're going to have the train station there, and they're going to spend a lot of money, the government, making that an incredible area. And North have got a good slice of that. So well done to Ben Buckley. Well done to Ben Amafio. This has been, and the board there. This has been a long time in the brewing, if you like. But it looks like now, in the next year and a half, that they are going to be able to put something positive on the balance sheet by way of an asset and also get some really good income coming in out of a multi-million dollar project, community indoor sports center. I think they're going to have sports science in there as well and medical. So well done to everyone down there. I think that's a brilliant result.
That is good for out that side of Melbourne, isn't it, out there? So well done to North Melbourne. Hey, Timmy Payne, Jeez, he's in some trouble. Have a listen to this is Tony Armstrong on the ABC News Breakfast Show, and poor old Payne.
Australian skipper Tim Payne is set to undergo neck surgery, but medical staff remain confident that the veteran will be fit for the Ashes. Payne has a bulging disc that has been causing him pain. I'm going to throw to you very quickly, Michael.
Bulging Bill. Disc.
A disc?
Yeah, disc.
In is that neck. What he said?
Yeah, well, he said dick.
Oh,
he just had it was a faux pas, which we all have occasionally.
Slip of the tongue, Bill.
A gaffe.
You have lots.
Yeah, I do. So Tim Payne fired back, Jim, and said, true story, actually.
Oh, but nice.
Yes, nice from Timmy.
So we've heard that one there. He's got a bulging dick. And then we've got, of course, the great Sandy Roberts.
Miss Australia with us in Bangkok. And Dick, I should say. And Leanne, it's going to be very interesting.
If you watch that vision, Jim, the cameraman has got the camera and it's shaking because he's laughing that much. Come on, Sandy. You're better than that, Sandals. Oh, no, you're not. Hey, that's we've got some other audio here, Jim, of Hamish Blake, who's a very funny man.
Very
we love him
man.
Here on at the Oz Stereo.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
And the listener Stereo.
App. And the listener app, Jim.
On it, Oz Stereo, he said.
So he's a Melbourne supporter and he's trying to get to the AFL Grand Final, Jim. Yes. And have a listen here, because this is on his Insta. He has three goes at getting in to WA for the grand final.
Is it the Department of Transport, WA? Mate, I'm a truck driver. I've got a truckload of ice cream here that's melting, a lot of ice cream. So what I thought I'd do is just shoot you my photo and my name, and you just make one up, email it back quickly, or I can just print out a temporary one. You get it, is that Optus Stadium? G'day, it's Maxi Gorn here, captain of the Melbourne Footy Club. I've cut my beard off and I stuck all the hair on my head, so I look completely different. Well, I was at the Premier's office. I've got a bit of an interesting one. I need to tell Mark McGowan a secret. Well, no, and I do understand he's very busy. That's why I thought he probably won't have time in the next week or two, and neither do I really. I am going to be in town on the night of Saturday the 25th, though. I could see him then.
Very good. That's good, Jim, isn't it? We like that.
Trying to sneak in. Well, you got to feel for the Melbourne fans, Fat. I have not greeted the judges for 57 years. Now they've got their best look at a grand final win in pretty much that whole time. And then most of them are locked in Melbourne. They can't even go to a mate's joint to watch it together.
Well, you can go to a pub as long as there's only 10 of you indoors and 20 outdoors.
Right. Well, in the regional, or you can do that in Melbourne?
No, in regional, sorry.
Yeah, well, but what if you live in Melbourne?
Well, you just stay at home, as you said. Do you reckon it might be opened up? Are we here? What are we hearing, Rabs? We might be opened up by the grand final.
I've stopped checking.
We've stopped checking, Jim.
Come on. I mean, imagine if we spoke about this. Imagine if your balls, Grinter, and Stephen Tingay and all those boys who have been unbelievable servants of that club and now follow it really closely tightly held pass-playing group. I mean, they want to be able to get together and watch the bloody game, Fat.
I know. I'm with you, Jim, but I can't do anything about it. I know I do a lot.
Stephen Stretch.
Stretchy.
Stretchy.
Hopgood.
Who else are we throwing in there? Paul Hopgood? He doesn't need to have too many.
Nathan Carroll.
That's a more recent one. Yeah, that's a more recent one. I like that, though. Yeah, but they all love the joint. They're very passionate about their club, and they have to sit and watch on their own. It's pox.
It's pox. All right, Jim. Coming up next, he's sure, yeah?
Oh, yes. I thought that's at the end of your rap.
Yeah, well, we've gone a while now, Jim.
Pretty
did he announce yesterday the Melbourne Storm time change?
Well, that happened
for their prelim
a long time ago. But it was up against the AFL Grand Final, but now they've changed it, brought it forward a bit earlier, which makes sense.
It does. It makes as much sense as Heath Shaw, who's going to join us next.
Rush Hour. JB and Bill, all thanks to selfwealth.com.au.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Oh, this is a beauty. We love when someone starts laughing on live television. They can't stop. Have a listen to this, weatherman.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, and a star on the footy field and now a reality TV star, Heath Shaw, joins us.
When it comes to grand final moments, there are few better than this man's smother in the 2010 replay.
Smother.
Touch it, smother it!
By Shaw, and a behind the result. Unbelievable!
Now now he's finished his 325-game career, you can see him on the Heater and Daisy Show and on SAS Australia.
I'm doing this to prove to myself that I can go over and above what I've done in the past.
Please welcome Heath Shaw.
Not often I will acknowledge this, Bill, but I think Dennis Cometti's call at that moment probably a little better snuck on him up on him like a librarian. But we've got the great Heath Shaw with us. Heater, welcome.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Heater, how's that, mate? I'm like September in finals. I kicked nine or eight or seven goals and kicked a goal after the siren. You're known for smothering a ball.
I know, mate. It's awkward. I would say it's a little bit embarrassing. Obviously, when you did smothering when you were a little kid, you go to the back of the line and you stay away from it because you don't want to do that. That's boring. And I'm going to be remembered for a smother for the rest of my life in a grand final, and it especially comes up this time of year.
Yep.
Well, but Heater, we all do lots of stuff on stage with various people, and whenever I get someone like yourself up or our great mate Craig Kelly,
yep,
I always say to the crowd assembled, take a very good look at this man because it's a rare species of Collingwood Premiership player. There aren't many of them around, so you are a legend of that place for that reason alone and obviously a fine career. So we are going to pick your brains on the grand final coming up. Just straight off the top, who are you liking?
Well, I don't know if you watched the Heater and Daisy show.
No.
I think halfway through the year, I think Melbourne and Bulldogs were on top of the ladder, and I said, I'm not sure these two teams will make the grand final. shows how much my 325 games of experience means in the footy terms, but the reason behind it, I thought they were peaking too early. They were on fire, those two teams. And so I thought, they might have spent their tickets by September, but both obviously had some really good weeks the last couple of weeks. Melbourne have been the best team all year, and so I'm probably going to have to stick with Melbourne. I think the Bulldogs have done it the hard way the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, so I think Melbourne are flying.
Who's got the best midfield? Good question, that.
Apart from the East Keel or Cougars, who I play for in the AFL.
The Cougars.
We bat pretty deep at East Keel. Well, you've got – they're both very good midfields. I think Melbourne's spine from full forward all the way through to full back is probably the best spine in the comp at the moment. And when you've got a good spine – I know I sound like I'm an 80s coach here. When you've got a good spine, you can fill in the gaps around them and – it makes it a lot easier. So I think Melbourne's defence is as solid as a rock. So that spine helps. And Bulldogs might have to, invent a few goals like they've done the last couple of weeks with Bailey Smith. So, you've got a few avenues to go with Melbourne.
You had that amazing 2010 grand final experience. Melbourne are going to go 28 games, Heater, playing one game of footy in the lead up. Does that have any impact?
Well, they'll be fresh. So, always helps. It's a unique one because most of the year you spend trying to rest and rejuvenate the body, and then when we get to finals, it's like it's the worst thing in the world not to have a week off. So I think they'll be primed. I can't see the motivation levels dropping off for a grand final and that fresh legs. Like I said, you throw it all out there at a prelim, have a break, and then you go again. So I don't think it's an issue, but it's a pretty good build-up, I think.
Hey, how's the Heater and Daisy show going? It's on SBS or Channel 31 or so. What is it on here? 7+.
7+, mate.
Yeah, 7+. How's that going? Because I love Dane Swan. He tweeted this and what did you say? A quote.
Quote, Bill, yeah.
Can someone explain to me how the f*** do these two have their own TV show?
It's a legitimate question. Obviously, Daisy finished a couple of years ago and I finished last year, and I think he randomly pitched the idea to someone at 7 and then next minute we're having a meeting with the head of sport at Channel 7 and they're saying, yeah, we think you've got a good idea. We're going to run with it. And then we walk out of the meeting, me and Daisy, and we're like, I'm still trying to figure out what our idea was. We've got to come up with a good show. We've sort of faked it till we made it for the first sort of month. And now we've sort of got some form of structure around it. And it's good fun. It's lighthearted. And you know how many serious footy shows are out there. Billy, you're involved in a couple, JB.
Yes.
There's a lot of serious footy shows out there. And footy's supposed to be fun. So we're trying to make it a little bit of fun.
I like that. We posed the question to Damo when he was on yesterday. From from Simon Madden onwards. So in the modern era, Heater, is Max Gawn the best ruckman we've seen?
Ooh, Dean Cox is pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just keeps on going to another level. And the game he played the other week, gee whiz, that was special from a big guy. And big guy, the ruckman, being the captain and leading by example like that, there's no doubt the team lifts around him. And I have this argument with my housemate who's a Melbourne supporter. That's probably why I want him to get beaten. he's like, Clayton Oliver and Petrarca, like the best midfielders going around. I said, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I reckon I could be up there if I've got Max Gawn putting it down my throat at every centre bounce. So I'm not saying they're not good players, but it does help when you've got a guy like that. And Ruckman, you know, sometimes people rate them, sometimes people don't rate them. But I'll tell you what, I reckon there's 17 other clubs that would have Max Gawn in a heartbeat.
And just some of those goals he kicked were unbelievable, Heater. You wouldn't have even kicked them, and you were, well, not a bad midfielder, back pocket type.
Well, I didn't get the opportunity to play forward. I'm a natural full forward, Billy, are just you? Like yourself.
Where do you play at the Cougars?
Cougars, I'm full back still.
Kick out.
Got to set the game up from the back line. So, naturally born centre-half forward, half-forward flanker, and, yeah, was just stuck on the half-back flank for 15 years. I blame Mick Malthouse for that.
You had some real nipsies in that 2010 team, real different stylings. Of course, Dane Swan being one of them, but Jono and bloody, you know, the Dids and all those boys. The preparation for a grand final with that group must have been unique, the days leading up to that, because you talk about not necessarily taking the game seriously. Some of those boys took their football a very different way.
Yeah, well, it's funny. It's a busy week. And we obviously had to do it twice because we drew in 2010. And honestly, I spent most of the time trying to buy tickets off people and get them to family members and then selling a couple other ones on the side so I could afford to buy more tickets in May. I felt like Ticket Tech at one point. And the Shaw family is not a small family. So there was a bit of hustling going on to try and get as many people as we could to that grand final. But you're right, JB. It's like, and we spoke about, people take footy seriously and get a bit carried away with the game. But if you're comfortable in yourself, you're comfortable in your ability, the build-up is always the same. And me, Dids, Jono and Swanee, we went about it a little bit differently. We like to have a joke before the games.
Good,
and
yeah.
Before you had to hand your phones in, Swanee was checking his stats at halftime on his phone and all that. it's not something that he took. He didn't take himself too seriously. But when he did go out there and play, he was one of the better players going around. And surprisingly, he was a very, very hard trainer, but he just didn't like people to know that because it takes away from the bad boy image.
How did he go with it when he kicked the footy, Heater? That was one of the more astounding things with me with Swanee, because the ball never once spun properly, and yet he very rarely missed a target.
Try warming up with him, kicking the ball, kick at the start of the game. I had him for a few years, and I swear to God, my lateral movement got better and better each year because I was chasing all over the place. And talking about taking a very, very relaxed approach, he was very relaxed the approach of kicking the footy. So, but like that's what worked for him, and I think that's the best thing about Swanee is he knew when to flick the switch, and coaches hate saying that players can flick the switch and go to another level when they need to. But Swanee was one person who's 10 seconds before the ball's bounced, he's joking around, but as soon as it goes, he's ready to roll.
And there's a bit like Maxi Gawn does that. You know, they run out and he's having a look around and he's high-fiving blokes. And I watched the Geelong blokes last Friday night. They were so serious, you know. So there's something in that. You got to switch on when you have to, but certainly before the game, I reckon you can have a bit of a joke around, Heater.
Yeah, and like the build up to a game, it's only 2 hours. But I think that's the only time I take my football serious is those 2 hours when you're actually playing. So it's you don't want to play the game before you get out there. And to be honest, if you do, you're putting more pressure on yourself. And if you're not confident in your ability, then that'll get to you during that game. So although I don't know how I'd be if I was a coach because I'd want the boys firing. So that's probably why I'll never ever be a coach because I'm a bit left field in that regard.
Is there room for...
That must have been what happened to you, Bill.
Yeah, shut up, Jim. Is there room for
not
that...
Not confident in your ability.
Both Geelong started slow and Port Adelaide started slow. So is there a room for that rev up, like at quarter time, like the good old days? Or do you think that's gone because we've got a lot of blokes coming through now that just haven't been told off, I suppose?
It's different these days, Bill. And you played know, in the 50s or 60s, whenever it was.
80s. Yeah, 50s.
The coaches, they weren't really thinking about your feelings too much. And like the great Mick Malthouse, who was, he obviously thought about, like, he was very kind and considerate off the field. But when it came to game day, he was ready to roll. And when I got to the Giants, it was a totally different approach because you had 18-year-old kids just out of school in a different state, and you've got to sort of, you've got to cuddle them a lot more than you get the sledgehammer out. But some people react to it differently. Like those four guys, my best mates, the Rat Pack, we responded to Mick giving the sledgehammer and wanting to prove him wrong in a way. But if you watch SAS on Channel 7 as well, if you want to get a rev up, you get one of these little commandos and you get them in your grill, and I'll tell you what, you get fired up pretty quickly.
Well, we are going to get to that next. We need to find out what's going on in this amazing show, SAS Australia. And Bill, I guess if you're at a stoppage at Skinner Reserve in a practice match and instead of following the ball, you're looking at a plane flying overhead, you're probably going to get a rev up.
He actually said, choke on this, you.
Anyway, we need to speak to Heater next about SAS Australia.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You might find yourself in the radio reserves until you can present yourself in a fit state to broadcast.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, SAS Australia, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 7, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, JB. And this man, Heath Shaw, is a big part of that.
Oh, and have a look at the lineup. Alicia Molik, of course, legend. Jana Pittman is a legend. You got John Stephenson, so the athletes well represented. Kerry Potthast, Kobe Abedin, the bra boy, Mark Philippoussis, Sam Burgess. Scott. So, geez, you're in good company, Heater.
Yeah, a few D-grade celebrities there. just slotted in pretty nicely too. But, like a few people I've met before going in there, and a few people that I'd met for the first time while I went there. So it was a good array of people, and I was going to say it was good fun, but it wasn't at all.
Well, what you're representing us when you go in there, of course, and what we'd like you to do is represent us in better fashion than the last bloke we knew who did a reality TV show. Hit this, Rabbits, please.
Hi, I'm here. Can you see me?
Can you see me guts?
Oh, no, I see the guts. The guts are there.
You're looking at Mr. January in the jungle. I've never been really a camper, so to do something like this in Africa, I think it might be a one-off.
Do you know what YOLO means? You only live once.
You only really live once.
Oh, that was The Jungle, which was a bit easier, I think, than the SAS show, Jim. We've only seen the ads on it, but it looks bloody hard. How many times?
You were in there for a day and a half. A day and a half and they threw you out. You lost 10 kilos in the jungle that you then put on the plane home.
Well, 2 days after I got home, I'd put it back on. But how long were you away for or doing the SAS, and how many times did you cry? Because you're a bit of a sook eater.
Well, it's the whole course is to break you down physically and mentally and rebuild you back up. So the tears did flow at some point throughout. You're going to have to watch to see how long I last. It was over and above the hardest thing I've ever done. But wasn't thinking it at the time, but when I got out, it was definitely the most rewarding thing I've done as well.
And you've got a phobia of confined spaces, yeah? Tell us about that.
Claustrophobic, it's called, Jim.
To be honest, and obviously around football clubs for a long, long period of time, MRI scans are just a part of football, and I dreaded them so much. I refused to go get scans, and if I was and I had to, it involved being heavily medicated. So being put in a situation where I had to crawl through a tunnel that was, I'd say, 20 feet long, and as the further you go into this tunnel, the smaller the tunnel gets. I wouldn't say it was the most enjoyable moment of my life. And to be honest, after it, I couldn't sleep because I thought they're going to make me do this again because it was so intense. And, when I see little clips of it and all that, it brings back bad memories. It's not ideal.
Because they tell me you're still having nightmares. Is that true?
When I left, and like you said, on the plane trip home, put a bit of weight back on, I did the same, but there was a couple of nights there where I literally woke up in a sweat because I thought the commandos were going to come in and grab me again, and it was all part of the show. They come and get you at your home and take you back. And, yeah, it's that, what is it, the PTSD sort of kicked in, and that's the sort of the mindset you're in, and it's their world, and that's what they live, and that's what they do, and we were with the Wolves, and they just threw us out there, and you just got to do what they tell you to do.
So who did you gravitate to who you didn't know going in? You said you already knew two or three, but who did you sort of get there and think, actually, yeah, they're a better cat than I thought, or a really good person?
Obviously, I knew Johnny Stephenson and Sam Burgess. I'd met them a few times before, and Sam Burgess was next to me on one side and John on the other, and Sam snores like a trooper, and, and then John's the other one. He's just hyperactive, and he's talking the whole time. So, like, I was in between those two units. Jet Kenny, Lisa Coe Kenny and Grant Kenny's son, I got along really well with. And then Manu and Aaron Holland. There was like a lot of people, but yeah, Jet, he's still a good mate of mine, and we chat every once in a while, and yeah, he's a ripper.
Any you didn't really connect with?
Well, Sam didn't start off on a good note when he said, "I snore like a trooper," and when you get the opportunity to sleep, you need as many hours as you can, and when you're banging someone in the side of the head every 10 minutes telling them to roll over, it's not ideal. But no, everyone was good. At times, a few people tested my patience during teams comps when, you know, I want to win and I want to get it done. And if you don't feel like everyone's pulling their weight, get a bit cranky, which you probably see me on the footy field do the same thing. Everyone was great, and I'm going to play straight back to that one.
Well, Bill, no one liked him, Heater. That's why he got thrown out after a day and a half. But I want to ask you this. Outside of the confined space, the tunnel, what was the? Can you tell us the hardest thing you did, or is that giving away what's coming up?
To be honest, it's you're on edge every day, and there's a physical activity and a mental activity every single day that you have to go through, and none of them were easy. To be brutally honest, to get thrown straight into the tear gas episode one was a bit of a shock to the system. The benefit I had, I didn't watch series one, so I was just open to anything, didn't know what to expect. A lot of people did, and they were just saying that we're going to fall out of a helicopter backwards. That's what they do to start last series. I'm like, oh, okay, sweet. And next minute we're in a room full with tear gas, and the commandos just did the old take your mask off, and I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, take it off, and you rip the mask off, and that first breath is one of the most unique and horrifying experiences I've ever had.
Does it actually bring tears to your eyes? Tear gas?
Yeah, it actually does.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. If you ask any of your mates, Heater, they will say you never followed rules. And you hated being told what to do. So how did you go doing this?
Yeah, well, it's a different scenario. I thought Mick Malthouse was scary, but Ant Middleton, for a short guy, he definitely scares the living daylight out of you. And a lot of people said, mate, didn't you just want to
whack him,
clock him when they're up in your grill? I said, you've got to sit back and you've got to understand that these guys are trained to kill. So I reckon they'd have me covered pretty easily. So a lot of the just nod your head and keep the head down and move forward and whatever they say goes. And like I said before, you're in their world, so they know what's going on.
At 7:30, of course, on the 7 Network and 7 Plus, Monday to Wednesday, a cracking show. Well done, Heater, with everything to do with that. And enjoy the build-up to the big granny.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
No worries, Heater. It's the Rush Hour, JB and Bill on Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
We had a couple of frothies one night when we had the road trip, Jim.
Yeah, down there, Warrnambool way.
Celebrating at a pub in Warrnambool, having a good old night. And all you soft people went home.
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour with James Brayshaw and Bins Brownless. And the Brownlow Medal is on Sunday night. And thanks to Thirsty Camel JB, we're revisiting some of Bill's Brownlow moments.
Now, it's another Rush Hour Brownlow moment. This September, find your local bottle shop at thirstycamel.com.au.
So, Bill.
Yes.
What happens when we have normal Brownlows at Crown, of course, the Palladium, is we set up a broadcast area, and people walk through off the red carpet past us into the room.
Yes.
And we grab all the players and we grab their beautiful partners and we have a chat to them about what sort of a night it's going to be. And a lot of the time, even though they come up and they're wearing suits and they've played 250 games and maybe even won a Brownlow before themselves, yeah, you've got no idea who they are.
And Jim, if you're honest, you've got no idea either.
I stay at the desk, roaming Bill goes out into the middle, and I just throw to him when I know he doesn't know anyone. I go, who you got over there, fat? So this is for Thirsty Camel, Bill stuffing up mightily during our Brownlow coverage.
Got to Shawnee Burgoyne here.
You go up to Darwin. You always like going up there.
Well, I was supposed to go up with Jarman Impey on a shooting trip, shooting and fishing trip, with Jed Anderson, and Cyril's already there. He said we've got to call him. So
good. How is Cyril? Cyril, I mean.
Sizzle.
Yeah. Dyson Heppel's here. Hello, Dyson.
Hey, JB.
Where's your beautiful partner, please?
Yeah, Kate Turner. Kate's here. She is.
She looks superb. How are you, beautiful Kate Turner?
I'm well. How are you?
Great.
Yeah, Sequent, nice little number tonight.
Yeah,
Sequent.
Very lovely. Mariana Hardwick. I was very lucky.
Sequined.
Yeah, he's sequined it.
Sequined it.
Yeah, sequined. Get it right, Bill.
What about my suit, Bill?
Shit is.
No, no. Hey, where are you, fat?
Yes, out here with Jakey Melcham, who just got back from Perth, of course. So actually, a bit hungover today, mate.
Yeah, we had a few beers last night, first time in a little while, so I'm feeling a pinch.
Well, you are indeed. I can tell you're looking orange. So tonight you'll be very quiet. Hopefully you're driving.
Yeah, I drove in today, but my partner here, Stacey's pregnant, so she'll be doing the duties on the way home.
Good on you. Nice sleepy. What colour is it?
Red.
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 You idiot. You're looking orange.
I don't know what that meant, Jim, to be honest. And there's a lot of different colours of lipstick, Jim.
Are there?
Yeah, Blossom.
Yeah, so, but red would be pretty easy to sort of.
Well, locate. There's different, a lot of shades of red.
Are there?
Mm-hmm. There's red, yeah. Red wine. There's just reddish.
No, that's a nice lippy you got on there. What colour's that? Red.
But you must admit, the players look different in their civvies or suits other than wearing jumpers out on the ground.
Bill, I find the Brownlow not too bad, but, you know, when you see him at, like, the races or
coffee,
you know, like
shop
an airport or coffee shop, you've got no clue. And they all come up and give it the, JB, how are you, mate? Yeah. And you give it the, oh, my God, who is that?
Yeah.
No, it's very embarrassing.
It is. It
not
is,
as embarrassing though. As you, but embarrassing.
No, it's embarrassing. Speaking of embarrassing, Rebs, buttons. Hit one.
All right. Your joke coming up next on the Rush Hour. Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Download the Listener app. You can listen anytime, anywhere. On tomorrow's show, huge Melbourne fan Rob Sitch is going to join us.
And genius too, Sitchy, of course. A working dog and all the incredible stuff he has done. So love him. Hump Day quiz as well. But Wednesday's always, well, Sitchy will be beautiful. Always a strong show until the quiz.
Yeah.
And then I have to sort of keep it tight because Bill just doesn't have the sizzle.
Just send it to old sausages here. Come on.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
Something humorous.
Yeah.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Have we got a sponsor?
No.
Not for your joke, but we do have a lot of sponsors on the show at the moment.
Thirsty Camel, I thought.
South Wealth.
Mercedes-Benz Berwick, but none of them want to be attached to your product.
Righto, here we go, Jim. The Bulldogs.
No, they're not a sponsor at all.
I think they could be.
They just give you a car. They don't sponsor us.
Oh, don't they? Right. No. The Bulldogs team sheet. You know who will be out this week, Jim? Chris Hemsworth. General Thornus.
Oh, no.
Your thought, Jim.
So you're just doing that to segue back into the punchline of arguably the only funny joke you've ever told.
Your thought.
Who are you?
Hi.
I am Thor. Your thought.
Your thought. Righto, Jim, I reckon I might have told this, but a while, long time ago, when you were just a boy, she was standing in the kitchen, Jim, preparing.
What song was that?
I just make a bit up. Bit up. She was standing in the kitchen, Jim, preparing our usual soft-boiled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And toast, of course, for breakfast, wearing only the T-shirt that she normally sleeps in. As I walked in, almost awake, she turned to me and softly said, "We've got to make love right now, right at this moment." My eyes lit up, Jimmy boy, and I thought, I am either still dreaming or this is going to be a very, very lucky day for Anthony William. Not wanting to lose the moment, Jim, I embraced her and I did what a good man has to do. Right there, right then, on the kitchen table. Afterwards, she said thanks and returned to the stove, her T-shirt still around her neck. Happy, but a little puzzled. I said, what was that all about? She said, the egg timer's broken again.
Oh, my God.
The 90 seconds, Jim.
Which, yeah, no, that's it. Yeah.
That was from Lisa to Jim. The egg timer, Brayshaw.
That's un-Rush Hour-like. What? You're recycling a joke that was crap the first time you told it.
No, it got a lot of hits.
Don't reckon.
A lot of hits, and they love it. They love
messy,
it like
messy,
yesterday.
Messy.
Well done, Anthony Wim. Yes, the egg pot is broken.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50K cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.